Hi, this is Randy Atkins, and welcome to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the Institute of Medicine, and the National Research Council, collectively known as the National Academies. Today's podcast provides important information for the public and the news media in the event of a terrorist attack involving chemicals. It is one of four fact sheets on potential terrorist attacks prepared by the National Academies in cooperation with the Department of Homeland Security. They were produced by the National Research Council's Division on Earth and Life Studies as part of a National Academy of Engineering project called News and Terrorism, Communicating in a Crisis. First used in World War I, chemical weapons drew from existing industrial chemicals like chlorine and phosgene. The 1995 sarin attack on the Tokyo subway by the cult Om Shinrikyo proves that fabrication and use of chemical weapons by non-state groups is possible. 12 people died, and more than 5,000 were injured. A chemical attack is the spreading of toxic chemicals with the intent to do harm. A wide variety of chemicals could be made, stolen, or otherwise acquired for use in an attack. Industrial chemical plants or the vehicles used to transport chemicals could also be sabotaged. Harmful chemicals that could be used in an attack include 1. Chemical weapons, warfare agents developed for military use. 2. Toxic industrial and commercial chemicals that are produced, transported, and stored in the making of petroleum, textiles, plastics, fertilizers, paper, foods, pesticides, household cleaners, and other products. 3. Chemical toxins of biological origin such as ricin. The toxicity of chemicals varies greatly. Some are acutely toxic, they cause immediate symptoms. Others are not very toxic at all. Chemicals in liquid or vapor form generally lead to greater exposures than chemicals in solid form. The severity of an attack is related to the toxicity of the chemical and its concentration when it reaches people. Many variables affect the concentration of a chemical, including wind and the volatility of the chemical. The release of toxic chemicals in closed spaces, for example in subways, airports, and financial centers, could deliver doses high enough to injure or kill a large number of people. In an open area, a toxic chemical cloud or plume could become less concentrated as it spreads and would have to be released in large quantities to produce a lot of casualties. Potential delivery methods of toxic chemicals include ventilation systems of a building, misting, aerosolizing devices, or sprayers, passive release, for example, a container of chemical left open, bombs, mines, or other explosive devices that contain chemicals other than those used to create the explosion, improvised chemical devices that combine readily available chemicals to produce a dangerous chemical, sabotage of plants or vehicles containing chemicals, introduction of toxins in the food and water supply. Many chemicals at high concentrations can be readily detected with handheld detection equipment carried by many emergency responders. Visual signs of exposure could include people grouped together who have similar symptoms such as choking or eye irritation. Symptoms in the animal population, birds, wildlife, and pets, can be important first indicators, often at concentrations much lower than detected by handheld devices. Acutely toxic chemicals can cause injury or fatalities if they are inhaled or absorbed by the skin. The harm that chemicals can cause depends on 1. Their degree of toxicity, 2. The concentration of the chemical, 3. The route of exposure, and 4. The duration of the exposure. The symptoms of different exposure to toxic chemicals would appear in minutes to hours. Different chemicals have different effects on the body. In an open-air environment, the area affected would depend upon such factors as the type and amount of the chemical agent, the means of dispersal, the local topography, and the local weather conditions. For highly toxic chemicals, lethal or immediately life-threatening results could be seen close to where the agent is released, where the concentration is highest, while severe to moderate symptoms could be seen at some distance from the event. A toxic cloud would spread roughly with the speed and direction of the wind. The concentration of the chemical could be greatly diminished at distances far from the source. For a release in a closed space, a volatile chemical will disperse to fill the space. The smaller the space, the greater concentration of the chemical. Chemical agents can make foods highly toxic, sometimes without changing the appearance or taste of the foods. Butter, oils, fatty meats, and fish absorb nerve agents so readily that removal of the agents is virtually impossible. Foods in bottles, cans, or wrappings are not affected by agent vapor and can be salvaged following decontamination. The food supply is vulnerable to intentional contamination by toxins such as botulism toxin. Toxic chemicals could be used to contaminate the drinking water distribution system. Surface water sources in the area of a chemical release could become contaminated, but dying fish or aquatic life might warn of the release before human use. Deep groundwater reservoirs and protected water storage tanks are regarded as safe sources of drinking water following a vapor release of chemical agents. There are methods of treating large volumes of potentially contaminated water for emergency drinking. What should people do to protect themselves? Practical steps. If the release is inside a building or a closed space, people should 1. Do whatever it takes to find clean air quickly. Exit the building if they can do so without passing through the contaminated area, or break a window to access clean air. 2. Remove outer clothing and place it in a sealed plastic bag. 3. Wash with soap, preferably liquid, and water. Flush skin with lots of water. Flush eyes with water if they are irritated. 4. Put on clean clothes. 5. Seek medical attention if they have been exposed, even if they have no immediate symptoms. If they are near an outdoor chemical release, people should 1. Avoid any obvious plume or vapor cloud. 2. Walk away from the site and into a building in order to shelter in place. 3. Bring family and pets inside. 4. Lock doors, close windows, air vents, and fireplace dampers. 5. Turn off fans, air conditioning, and forced air heating systems. 6. Go into a room with as few windows as possible. Seal the room to create a temporary barrier between people and the contaminated air outside. 7. Seal all windows, doors, and air vents with plastic sheeting and duct tape. 8. Improvise with what is on hand to seal gaps to create a barrier from any contamination. 9. Watch TV, listen to the radio, or check the internet often for official news and instructions as they become available. Evacuation as a toxic cloud is passing could result in greater exposures than staying inside. The best course of action will be provided by emergency officials who may use computations from models to calculate the path and potential health effects of the toxic cloud. Immediate medical treatment is required for those exhibiting signs and symptoms of exposure to toxic chemicals. There are reliable antidotes for nerve agent exposure, which may be available from medical professionals. Some antidotes, such as atropine, 2-PAM chloride, and diazepam, are contained in the medical kits of first responders, but larger quantities of these antidotes may be found at hospitals and treatment facilities. A specific antidote kit is available for cyanide, but it may have to be administered in a hospital. Supportive medical care and hospital therapy is required for large exposures to phosgene and chlorine vapor. What are the long-term consequences? Most health effects from a chemical attack would occur quickly. Some injuries from acute exposure to toxic chemicals, such as eye damage and chemical burns, can persist for a lifetime. Detailed information on the possibility of developing other types of health effects later in life would be made available once a specific exposure is known. Of the military chemical weapons, only mustard gas is a known carcinogen. Although some industrial chemicals are carcinogenic, the risk of developing cancer later in life is not likely to increase significantly following a one-time exposure. In the days and weeks following the use of a chemical agent, officials might be expected to evacuate the limited area near the release site, ensure proper ventilation of the area, establish a plan for careful monitoring and assessment of affected areas, decontaminate areas where liquid agent was present, assure the public that the threat has passed after thorough testing of the affected area. Such impacts might involve disruption of lives and livelihoods as the contaminated area is being cleaned up. An attack on food or agricultural crops could result in long-lasting economic impact for suppliers and their communities as well as consumers. This report brief was prepared by the National Academy of Engineering and the National Research Council of the National Academies in cooperation with the Department of Homeland Security. For more information, contact Randy Atkins at 202-334-1508 or Atkins, A-T-K-I-N-S, at nae.edu or visit www.nae.edu/factsheets. Other National Academies reports related to this topic, like tracking the atmospheric dispersion of hazardous materials releases, are available from the National Academies Press, 1-800-624-6242 or go to www.nap.edu. My name is Randy Atkins, and you've been listening to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academies, advisors to the nation on science, engineering, and medicine. Be sure to visit us at our website at nationalacademies.org, where we have full text of more than 3,000 books and publications available to read free online. The nation turns to the National Academies for independent, objective advice on issues that affect people's lives worldwide.